Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have three things running through my head today. We've known each other for a while, right? So at this point, I'm just going to tell you what those three things are. And I know they fit together. And we're going to experience how they fit together. The three things that are hurtling through my brain right now is this book of Jonah and the story of Jonah. The second thing would be today as All Saints Sunday. And truthfully, the third thing is the election on Tuesday. Don't worry, I'm not going to get overly political. And you can rest assured that as a pastor speaking from the pulpit, even if it is a metaphorical one right now, I cannot say exactly who you should vote for, so you don't have to worry about that coming up. But I can't pretend that that is not going on right now, and I can't pretend that that is not a part of what is going through people's heads, and I don't want to. Jonah is a prophet. Jonah is a horrible prophet. Jonah is an effective prophet. He might be the single most effective prophet in the Old Testament. Did you catch the extent of his prophecy? He walks into the city. We're told that Nineveh is 3 days across. Let's back up for a moment. What do you know about Nineveh? It's a city. That's a fair answer. It's a capital city, the capital city of Assyria. To give you some geography, and the scale is wrong, but just to help you out with your Middle East geography, unless, are you all carrying that map in your head right now? As soon as Tarshish came up, you went, oh, I know where that is. Joppa, no problem, I can point that out on a map. Imagine, if you will, that you live in Spokane, Washington. Can you all picture Spokane? Now let's say that God comes to you and speaks, says, I want you to go to New York City. New York City. Sorry, remember that commercial? You're in Spokane, and God says, I want you to go to New York City, and I want you to prophesy there. And so God says this to you, and your response is that you hop in your car, and you drive to Seattle looking for a boat to take you to Tokyo. You get it now? That's what Jonah does. When God says, go to Nineveh, Jonah goes in the exact opposite direction to a port city looking for a boat to take him across the Mediterranean Sea, probably somewhere into southern Spain. He's a lousy prophet, but he's effective. Because what happens when he's on the boat? Oh, come on, what do y'all think of when you think of Jonah? The storm and the fish and all that stuff. I know we always say whale, but for the record, the Hebrew says fish. I'm just letting you know. It doesn't really matter. Some of you are wondering, Pastor Chris, do you think he was really swallowed by a fish? Truthfully, I don't care. I really don't. It's okay with me if you don't think he was. It's okay with me if you think he was. Someone pointed out to me, a former pastor of Bethel, I'll paraphrase, Chuck, correct me if I get it wrong, but a former pastor of Bethel once replied to that question by saying, my God is powerful enough to have swallowed him with a goldfish. And I got a kick out of that. Because that's not the point. The point is that Jonah's a horrible prophet. God says, go and do this. He does the exact opposite. He runs. He runs as far as he can. And there's this calamity, and he winds up getting thrown overboard, and all this stuff happens. And it literally says he is spewed onto dry land, which is the same word you would hear today. He is vomited onto dry land. It's kind of funny, actually. So God speaks to him again and says, go to Nineveh. So he goes to Nineveh. 3 days across is this city. 3 days walk. He walks in 1 day's worth. And what does he say? In 40 days, God will destroy this place. That's the extent of his prophecy. It's one of the shortest prophecies in the Bible. And what do people do? They listen to him. That's it. That's all he does. Elijah worked his tail off and people did not listen that effectively. Jeremiah, Daniel, Moses, it's prophets galore. John the Baptist, there's all sorts of prophets who tried so hard through Scripture to get people to listen, to repent, to do what they needed to do. Jonah says those words, it's like 6 or 7 words. 40 days, God's going to destroy this place. Peace, I'm out. That's all he says. And the people listen. And they go overboard on their listening. The king throws on sackcloth. Everyone goes into mourning. We're told that the animals put on sackcloth, which is ridiculous. I know that's not like high-class comedy or something you might see on, I don't know, Comedy Central or Netflix or whatever your tastes are, but that's funny. People are dressing up their animals in sackcloth? That's ridiculous. They listen. They repent. And what does God do? God relents. God relents. And what does Jonah do? He throws a fit. He pouts. He throws a fit. He's a grown man, a prophet. He's already fled from his responsibilities once. He finally goes through with it. It works out, and he responds by throwing a fit. Why does he throw a fit? Because now he looks like a false prophet. Because what did he actually say? He didn't say, repent or this will happen. He said, this is going to happen. Now it's not going to. And he's disappointed. He's very disappointed. Because now he looks bad. He finally did what he was supposed to do. He finally went to Nineveh. He said the thing God said to say. Well, given how hard he's worked thus far, he probably paraphrased, let's be honest. And God decides, no, we shall spare the Ninevites. Nineveans? Ninevites? People of Nineveh. And Jonah throws a fit. He basically stamps his feet. Why would you do that? He goes off and sits down on a hill so he can sulk. He makes a little tent kind of thing to help himself out a bit. And God says, here's some shade for you. And helps him out with this stock, this bean, right? We won't call it a bean stock because then you'll all think of Jack. We've got enough for trying to keep track of today. Jonah enjoys the shade, and then God kills the stock. Jonah throws a fit again. He throws a fit. He says he would rather die because this thing is, this shade, this plant has died. He wants to die. And that is ridiculous. Have you ever been upset about something in your life? Yes, you have. It's a rhetorical question. Of course you have. But come on, that's ridiculous, right? He throws a fit. And God points out to him, you are so angry about this, pardon me, stupid plant. And you don't understand the importance of letting these people live. And it kind of ends on a cliffhanger. Did you notice that? Or maybe not a cliffhanger, but just it kind of leaves you hanging at the end. We're not told if Jonah listens to God there. We're not told if Jonah relents, repents. Nothing we've seen from him thus far would indicate that he does. But we'll never know because it doesn't tell us. Today is All Saints Sunday. It is a day that we remember and celebrate the saints in our lives. And as we talked about earlier, a saint in our theology and our way of looking at that word as Lutherans, we don't just talk about the canonized saints of the Roman Catholic Church. We talk about saints or forgiven sinners. They're us. Each and every person in this room. St. Chuck? No. St. Nancy? That's a farce. Hard to hear that, isn't it? St. Lindley? No? It's true.
Sure.
St. Chris. We don't need to talk about St. Christopher. All Saints Sunday, day that we remember the saints who've gone on before us, the people who have inspired us, the people who we have loved, who we still love. That love has changed. They may not be walking around with us right now, but we still have that love. And when you think about the life of those who have passed on, that idea of being a forgiven sinner, I mean, that's what's happening to the people of Nineveh, right? God's forgiving them. God's finding hope in their future. God is finding a purpose for them. New life. And Jonah can't take that, can he? That's part of what makes Jonah so upset, is that he looks at these people and he has judged them. They are not Israelites. They are not children of God in the way that Jonah believes they should be children of God. Look in your bulletin for just a moment, please. You see that word Lord that's repeated in there over and over and over and over and over again? And how is it written? Is it all capital letters?
Yep. Yeah.
Some of you know where this is already going. Whenever you see in the Old Testament, whenever you see that word Lord written in those four capital letters, that is a clue to you that in the Hebrew, the word is not Lord. The word is, for lack of a better way of explaining it, Yahweh. We could sit here and suss out all the details of it. I don't want to. It's not worth it. It's simple enough to just say that the word is Yahweh. Y-H-W-H. Okay? If you want to get literal about it, no, it's not, because it's in Hebrew, and we can talk about all this other stuff. Not the point. The point is that when you see that word, when you see Lord in four capitals like that, that is basically the proper name for the God of Israel. You understand? So if Baal or Baal or however you want to pronounce it, B-A-A-L, was that God we talked about last week or the week before, one of the gods of the Phoenicians? Does that kind of ring a bell? A rival god to Yahweh? Every time you see that word, those four letters, Y-H-W-H, L-O-R-D in this case for the translation, we're talking about the God of the Israelite people. That is to say, a God who should only be for those people, who does not care about anyone outside of those tribes. That's what the belief is. A God who will only act in those places, a God who will only act in the world of Israel, in that land. A God who has no business being in Nineveh. A God who has no business caring about the people of Nineveh. That is what Jonah thinks. That's part of why he is so angry. Because he thought he was going to see these heathen, horrible sinners burn. That's what he wanted. That's why he went out there. He went out there to see pain and suffering and bloodshed. Jonah is a horrible prophet. He's an effective one. It's kind of funny that the thing we always think about with him is the fish. Couldn't care less about the fish, personally. Because when I think of Jonah, I think about this man who, God bless him, glad his story is in here. But this man who was so filled with himself, so filled with anger, so filled with this co-opted version of God that was just for him and his people, that he could not see the value of the people of Nineveh. What does he say to God about why he's upset? He says, I knew that you are a gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. When he finally confesses why he didn't go out there, it's because he was afraid, not even afraid, he knew if he went out there, that God would actually change his mind. He knew these people were safe, and he resented it. That's Jonah. So now we talk about the election, right? Oh. I don't know how each and every one of you feel politically, and with all due respect, I don't care. The reason I say that is because I'm your pastor and I love you, period. Whatever you have done or will do in a couple days, I love you, period. We may disagree, we may agree, we may never know. Don't care, I love you, period. But I will say this. Our God is not a God of hate. Our God is not a God of fear. I know it says sometimes the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all knowledge. Horrible translation. It's the respect of the Lord. What does God, what does a messenger of God say every time they show up? Be not afraid. God, may she rest in peace. Thus Sunquist made that for us when we were using the chapel back at the old site. So I see that every day now when I walk in and out of there. Be not afraid. We have a God of love and forgiveness and hope and new life. That's why we're here in this location instead of just closing our doors. That's why we find new ways to minister in and with this community. We don't gather together because we all agree. We don't gather together because we are an exclusive country club. We gather together because we are forgiven sinners. Each and every one of us. I am. You are. I promise my kids are, boy. We have a God of love and hope and new life. Whatever you're going to do this week, whatever you did, I hope and I pray that you do not make those decisions out of hatred, one way or the other. If you hate her, if you hate him, don't let that be what chooses your heart, what rules your heart. Vote out of faith. Vote out of hope. Live your life that way. That's what we're called to do. Because otherwise, with all due respect, we're no better than Jonah. We are no better than Jonah, if you want to be honest. But we're acting like him then. He's a spoiled brat. I'm talking about Jonah. Who just makes the decision to go off, be angry, and throw a fit. Because he knew that if he went out and he did what God had called him to do, that God was going to love somebody. And he couldn't take it. He couldn't take the idea of God loving someone who was not part of his tribe. Tough luck, Jonah. That's who God is. Let us pray. We thank you, O good and gracious God, for the ways in which you have worked through all sorts of sinners, the ways in which you have made saints known in this time and others. We thank you for the peace and love that we experience through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. We ask you to help us this day and always to walk in ways that reflect his love, that respect his joy, and that show that peace that he brings to others. We pray this, trusting that you are with us now and always, and knowing that we will go forth from this place walking in your light. Amen. Thank you.